From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 17th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour 2 of 2 in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Now, yesterday, we had our buddy on James Edwards, the politicalcesspool.org radio program and frequent contributor and guest/co-host to Liberty Roundtable Live. Joins us once a month or more often as the situation, if you will, requires. Anyway, James emailed me and said, "Hey, Sam, you want to play this video? It's pretty spot on." And we were talking about how the political correctness has just gone out of control. The hatred against whites, the hatred against religious Christians, the hatred against anything good, lovely, praiseworthy, or of good report, all just out the window. And the attacks are so relentless, they're just getting worse by the second. And so this video, in a way, is a little tongue-in-cheek. On the other hand, it's almost so true, it's scary. So here's the video, then we'll bring James on and talk about it. Fascinating stuff.
Hi there, you're very attractive. I mean, I'm not objectifying you in any way.
Not that hello is necessarily your traditional greeting.
I'm not racist.
I'm not sexist. I promise you, I'm not sexist.
I'm not at all racist. Is that a straight white male?
No, it can't be. We killed them all.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry, I just arrived from that time machine over there. I came from 2015. I was hoping you guys had the time on you or if you just had some food.
It's okay. We don't eat food anymore.
It's very offensive.
Yeah, we just have solid love.
It's 100% gluten-free, halal, kosher, dairy-free, biodynamic, solar-powered, carbon-neutral, and all the colours of the rainbow.
Yeah,
nah, look, I'm going to pass on that. Why are you both wearing black?
It's not black. It's African-American.
Okay, so what are your names then?
We don't have names anymore.
They cause discrimination.
We're just prescribed numbers at birth.
And many people were offended if their number was too high or was bad luck according to their religion.
Yeah, so we all became number one.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
No, that sounds horrible, actually.
She's not used to men disagreeing with her.
Why? What is she going to do, arrest me?
Well, actually, yes, there's a 20-year jail sentence for disagreeing with a woman. And 30 years if she's a privileged white woman with a blog.
And for both of you, we no longer use the terms he or she. We're all equal.
I beg your forgiveness. Oh, great, number one, I'm not sexist. I'm not sexist.
So no one has free speech anymore either?
Oh my Buddha, Allah, Vishnu, Tumblr, Google, God, no. Of course we have free speech.
We just have to thank the traditional owners of the oxygen every 5 minutes. Which reminds me, it's 3:05. Oh, great dinosaurs, we send our thanks for this precious air that we so selfishly breathe.
Okay. What? So your god is a dinosaur?
No. We were all gods.
Well, legally, Mark Zuckerberg made himself our god.
Do kids even go to school?
Of course they do.
But only for 3 days of the year. All other days are religious holidays.
And on those 3 days, we are told how beautiful we are.
Yeah. Oh, but if by the age of 16 you're still a straight white male, we will kill you. Brutally.
What sort of perverse leader made all these laws?
We have no leader.
We simply have an equality guidance counselor.
They are the true number one. But were originally born Mohammed Smith, Chang, Steinberg, Patel, Volkov, Mbele.
They were also 4 years old.
Your leader is... four? 4 years old?
Yes. And if you have a problem with that, you are an ageist.
And to protect this utopia we live in, ageism results in the death penalty.
Rid yourself of the evils of the past and join us.
Join us.
Become number one with us.
Join us. I'm not
join
sexist.
Us. Join us. Join us. Join us.
I'm not sexist.
By the way, what's the date?
It's the 18th of January. 2016.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Quite well done. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, it makes a critical point. James Edwards, who did this? Some white guy? Some crazy white guy? Sorry, start over. I had to put you up. Say it again.
Okay. No, I was going to say thank you, Sam. It's funny you asked that, and I was just going to say what a great treat it is to be back on with you on back-to-back days. And so I actually saw that video for the first time. A friend of mine had sent it to me literally while I was waiting to go on the air with you yesterday. And so it was just a three-minute video. So while I was in queue waiting for the hour to start, I actually watched it. And I was so impressed by it, by not only the way that they convey the message, but also by the production quality. Now, I know everybody just listened to it on the radio, so you can't see how well done this short film actually was. And very few things move me to the point where I'm so excited about something I see, I send it right away to other people. But that was one of the things that I said, Sam, you know, you got to take a look at this. Obviously, we were in the middle of the show yesterday by the time I got it to Sam. So we didn't get to it. But no, I don't know who actually did it, except for, well, you probably have his name in front of you. I can't even pronounce it. It sounds like maybe an Indian-sounding name. He actually is in a follow-up video to this one. This video was just called Equality, hashtag Equality. And he did a follow-up video entitled Modern Education, with the word education blatantly misspelled. And he actually appears in that video. And you can see that yeah, he looks like he is from some sort of an Indian or Pakistani descent, and 100% right on the issues, no doubt about it.
Amen. And I know it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It sounds extreme, but, you know, we've kind of gone into this realm. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, the Twilight Zone. And I'll give you some examples to make the point with the next couple of stories I want to quickly have you respond to and then let you fly. No whites allowed day of absence lives on despite the uproar at Evergreen State College. So they're literally doubling down on this no whites day. They're expanding it to 3 days and more.
Yeah, and the thing about this video, and you can bring examples like that to help illustrate how really close we are to that. Now, again, of course, it is tongue-in-cheek, but only slightly tongue-in-cheek from where we stand right now. I would say, with only a little bit of exaggeration, that what you heard in that video is a couple of steps behind where we are right now. But what that video did do so well is really highlight and play on what I have said for years and years and years, that political correctness is a religion. It is now the state religion of the United States. It is a cult. And I think they played up on the cult-like mentality that the adherents to radical political correctness are, and or have, and it is a mental disorder. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and interestingly, talking about the racial ethnic makeup of the producer of this film, for all the flack we get for saying, you know, we want for ourselves, and I just happen to be born white and into a Christian family, so I guess you could say I'm a white Christian. I guess that's supposed to be some sort of a horrific statement to make publicly, but I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of the way God made me. If he had determined in his infinite wisdom to send me to a family of another race, I would have been proud of that just the same as I am now. And interestingly, I think we are the ones, people like me, people like you, people like Kurt, we are the ones who do truly want diversity. We talked yesterday about the trip that my wife and I took down to Central America and how much I was amazed by the culture. That doesn't mean that I want their culture to be mine, but I can go down there and respect it. So I like the uniqueness of mankind. I like the fact that there are other cultures that we can look at and observe and appreciate. But that doesn't mean that we have to amalgamate all of God's creation into one mass where there is no distinction.
It also doesn't mean if we have an appreciation for and a respect for and a desire to preserve our heritage that we want to down anybody else's or destroy anybody else's heritage.
Well, I think, well, of course. And again, you almost feel silly for having to state that, but because the lying press and hate groups like the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center take out of... So egregiously distort our heartfelt and righteous cause and message, You do, for the sake of being on a public venue, for those who don't know us as well as we know one another or know ourselves, you do have to make these little disclaimers from time to time. But I do appreciate the uniqueness of mankind and the distinction of the different peoples of this world that God created. And I think if people follow the way that we see things, those boundaries, if you want to call them that, those lines of distinctions will be preserved. Where's the uniqueness? Where's the diversity? And if we all believe the same thing, if we all look like each other, if we all worship as it's becoming political correctness, and we're all so afraid to speak up and tell the truth, that video really hit it, not to belabor the point, but it was a fantastic video.
All right, I guess a Cornell University student stripped to her underwear. She was mad because a professor criticized her clothing when she did a trial run speech. She was wearing shorts and stuff like that. The professor said, hey, you're going to dress like that for the event? She got mad. She literally came out in shorts and shirt and literally stripped to her underwear and gave her speech. She's from Cornell University. The reason that I bring this up, what if a white dude, a big white dude, like a Bill O'Reilly kind of guy or something like that, got up there and stripped to the boxers and said, hey, man, I'm protesting this, you know, deal. And what do you think would happen?
Well, as we talked yesterday with regards to the country picking and choosing which laws it's going to enforce based upon political correctness, so too are punishments at places like college and social approval or disapproval can vary depending on...
I'm telling you right now, they'd arrest that guy. They'd call him a misogynist pig. The Me Too movement would go ballistic, and he'd probably get arrested and probably tased and hauled out of there. This lady got celebrated, this girl, whatever you call her, and other folks in the audience stripped with her.
Yeah, let's talk about...
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
James Edwards riding shotgun, thepoliticalcesspool.org radio program. Check it out. Award-winning broadcast every weekend, every Saturday night, and available archives 24/7, thepoliticalcesspool.org. So we're talking about this Cornell University gal. She literally got up, gave a speech, stripped to her underwear and bra and panties, they say. And I guess other folks in the audience started stripping with her. James, what if a white guy got up there, big old white dude, just started stripping? I'm telling you right now, they'd tase that dude, arrest him, call him a misogynist pig. they'd tase him, they'd throw him in the clink. I mean, it would get crazy, wouldn't it?
Well, and, you know, probably rightly so. And you nailed it right before the break. And then once again, just then, that's exactly what would happen. That's probably what should happen. I guess that's still a law and decent exposure. But see, the white guy would have the law enforced on him because he doesn't have a right to be offended. And in fact, he is actually the root cause of everything bad that's ever happened in the history of the world. So the same rules don't apply to him. But now, on the other hand, this empowered Me Too or whatever she is, we call them support groups of the regime.
Now, what I find fascinating is you know, when you're a kid, you're taught if you want to learn to be a public speaker, they say, hey, so you get over your embarrassment, just imagine the audience all in their underwear, and you're supposed to smile, and it's a joke. No one thought this would go real.
Well, imagine the audience in their underwear. I don't know about the speaker themselves.
Well, there you go. And so it's just, that's what I mean. It's just ratcheted up on psychotic steroids. It's crazy. Now, I also don't understand, what does she expect to accomplish? So an Asian female gets up there, says, I'm more than Asian. I'm more than woman. I'm just everything. I'm basically a goddess. And I'm going to just get naked in front of y'all. And I hope you get naked with me in protest. I don't even understand what she hopes to accomplish with that.
Well, this is, again, we talk about the insanity of it all. And really, we talked about that video we played at the top of the hour being, you know, a couple of steps behind where we actually are, not far behind, certainly within sight. I believe that video may be a very accurate portrayal this day of what goes on at some of the so-called institutions of higher learning. I mean, if you really want to find some of the most insane, degenerate, dysfunctional people, you can go to a college or university in the United States today, and that's where they'll be.
Well, and you see that, and then you also see Evergreen State College. They got a no whites absence day. No whites allowed. They're expanding it to 3 days despite the last year's uproar. It continues. It lives on. I mean, imagine
that's
that.
The funny part, one of the funny slight exaggerations of the video. Once you can disclude people, you know, how far does it go until you can enslave them or even kill them? And certainly all these things that we think can never happen again, they have happened countless times throughout the history of the world, even into certainly in the 20th century and even to this day. People round up and kill the dissident groups. This has happened all over the world countless times. Hasn't really happened in America so much. But that's not to say that it can't, especially the more separated we become from God, the more separated we become from our families. This kind of thing can happen. They talk about we killed all the straight white males. Well, now, you know, you don't necessarily kill them yet, but you can certainly marginalize them. You can cost them their jobs. You can do a lot of things to them unless they are part of this groupthink system that we've got now.
All right, Kurt, Dateline, Birmingham, Alabama. Kurt?
Sam, I don't know what to say about it, except that they got some crazy stuff going on down there in Birmingham. You know, it looks like, you know, we're talking about the mayor down there with they got a church sign that says, quote, black folks need to stay out of white churches. That doesn't seem too
Christian.
Well,
I guess there's a
church
that's got a sign that says that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the story is brought to you by Melanie Posey. What does the mayor say, Kurt?
Well, he responds, and I'm sure it's a politically correct response, but, you know, in the days of old, If somebody had stuck something up like this, what would have happened? Nobody would hear about it, and the church would just be, you know, basically left, I guess you could say, to their own whatever. WSFA is the author or the source of it. That's a TV station down there. And, you know, basically the mayor said, you know, they quote him and says, here's the story. While some pass by the New Era Baptist Church and never notice a sign in the church's front yard, there are others, especially those who live nearby, who can't help but see it. One 16-year-old Keegan Edwards said, I really think it shouldn't be up there. He doesn't live too far from the sign that reads, black folks need to stay out of white churches. On the other side, it says white folks refuse to be our neighbors. This Keegan Edwards.
Yeah, so what does the mayor say about it, though?
Says, well, I'm getting down to that. But the latest sign caught the attention of Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin. He said, there's a spirit that is over this city that has to be brought down, a spirit of racism and division. This is what he said in a Facebook post.
Now, let me just stop you for a second and say this. I don't really believe that you should put a sign up, and I agree with Kurt, it's not very Christian, to put a sign up and say black people need to stay out of white people's churches. However, you know what? If somebody has private property and that's the way they feel, they have a right to their feelings, and they have free speech. They can say that if they want to. I can choose to go to that church or not. So what I'm saying is I'm not defending what they're doing, but I'm defending their right to do it, James.
Well, you just mentioned the compare and contrast to this is very striking. The situation at Evergreen College up in Washington State, this was a university-mandated, a university-sanctioned, whites need not apply type of thing, and that was a great thing, right? I mean, that didn't cause, I mean, I guess we heard about it because you mentioned it on the radio, so it had to have made some news, but certainly not. It wasn't negative. It was just like a matter of fact. Well, of course we're going to exclude whites because this is a safe zone or whatever. So you just had the exact opposite take place at a public facility, and there was no uproar. But now here in Birmingham, I guess that's supposed to be bad. My thing is, of course, as you said, Sam, I government sanctioned segregation or integration, it should be. A personal decision. People obviously self-segregate by and large, even still to this day. I'm not necessarily for forced segregation or forced integration. Let the people decide. But I would wonder, and this is a question, I guess everybody's assuming this is a white church, and maybe it is, but is this a white church or a black church? I mean, I can see in this day and age a black church putting up a sign that say, white people need to stay out of black churches, or black people need to stay out of white churches. That was a sign. Black people need to stay out of white churches. Was this a black church that put up the sign?
Well, Kurt will find out, and you're pointing out the double standard, but I would say this. In either case, they have the right to say and think that if they want to. Now, I might disagree with it, but again, we got to understand America here, folks. It isn't you agree with Sam or you're done, or you don't agree with Sam and you're done. It's that even if somebody has very heinous views, they have the right to them. I might not agree. I might not support them. I have my rights, and I can do what I want to with my purse, my wallet, my whatever, and my votership, viewership, listenership, whatever. But I'm saying, look, they have the right to say this and think this if they want to, as egregious as you may think that is, folks.
Well, and another thing we got to remember, Sam and Kurt, is that we live in an age of race hoaxes as well. So I would like to know, first of all, I want to know two things. Number one, everybody immediately assumes that this is a white church saying whites need to stay out of black churches, I keep getting it backwards. Blacks need to stay out of white churches. We assume
white people, whites just need to stay out of the colleges.
That's right. So we're assuming this is a white church saying whites need to stay out of black churches, or blacks need to stay out of white churches. I'd like to know if this is a white church or a black church. Once we find that out, we'll know more. And if we can't find that out, I would remind everyone that we do live in an age of race hoaxes. A lot of times when you see these in-your-face examples of obtuse thought, that it's almost always
a scam, a hoax.
Seen, you know, spray painting on black churches. We've seen nooses left on dorm doors. I mean, we have covered probably 100 of these, and these are just 100 we found out about. 100 hoaxes where it's a black saying something in your face to rile up the press or rile up other blacks, and it happens to be pretending it's a white, and then find out it's a white hating black that did it.
I got this crazy idea.
Is this a black church? Number two, did anybody at the church take ownership of this?
You ready for this crazy idea?
Nope, we got a break. Yeah.
What if we just had churches? Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Back in a second on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
they're commercial, everyone's happy, and they're jumping around in there or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy, and then you're vomiting in the bathroom, and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid, because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer, and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
I don't know that we're getting the whole story on this thing. I saw about this New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. One news story said they tried to call to talk to the pastor to find out who's taking ownership of this, and the number's disconnected. Believe it or not, I found the number. I called the number, and it's true. It is disconnected. So with that, it's hard to say if it's a black or a white, quote, church. They don't really say. Kind of a strange scenario. Any other update on this, Kurt?
No, I don't see anything else. But like you say, the media uses it to stir up the problem, if you ask me. You know, where they could have just not given it any coverage and it would be, well, there'd be less racism going on, right?
They call it a slave master church. I don't know what that means.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but I'm telling you right now that I'm convinced this is a provocateur thing. Michael R. Jordan, they say, the pastor of the church, says the sign expresses his opposition to the church. So I don't really know, you know, it's hard to know who's who. They're making this very vague. And that's what tells me there's probably a fly in this ointment. In other words, they get the big mileage out of it, and then they kind of apologize on the back end or whatever.
Yeah, we've seen that happen many times, haven't we, Sam? You know, here comes the fake news story, big headlines, and then, it was an abandoned church in some PO'd black, some ticked off black person, you know, put the sign in to stir up racial tensions. And, yeah, you never hear the retraction, or it'll be on, you know, the initial story will be A1 above the fold, the retraction or the correction or whatever they like to call it will be in the classified. So this story really stinks. I honestly cannot see any white person, even a white person such as myself, who is labeled all of these evil things for not wanting to spit on the grave of my ancestors or something like that. I wouldn't put up a sign like that. I don't know.
All right, so here's what's going on. A new church of the Highlands is going to come into this guy's neighborhood. He's mad about it. He says it's a slave master church because what they do is they start a black church, but they put a, like, he says, I call it plantation religion. The white rich folks start a church and put a black pastor in charge of it. So this is a big old epic battle in Birmingham, I believe designed to foment racism. They say we have to change the conversation. Jordan says he worries that the Church of the Highland will get government funding at the expense of black organizations. So as far as I can tell, this is a black church, a black pastor, black leader, and he's saying, hey, you white folks are just trying to prey on us. They say the mayor's oblivious to what's really going on here. They say that the problem is whites don't want to be our neighbors. They fled the city. They sold the churches to us. White folks don't want to be our neighbors, says the other side of the sign. So this is just some extreme black pastor going ballistic over this, as far as I can tell.
All right. So we've already gotten down to the rest of the story. Sam Bushman figured it out in one segment what the local press
said. On the air while I'm talking. The other sentence from this guy says, they say this, the white administrators will still control the choir. The white administrative leadership will still run the church. Meanwhile, the Church of the Highlands has attracted black worshipers attending the, quote, trendy church, Jordan said. So now you got, hey, they're trying to steal his flock. The white folks trying to get black guys going to their churches. And so,
well, see, I wrote about this in my book, Racism Schmacism. I wrote about this in 2010. So whites are racist if they move out of black areas. If they move out of areas or neighborhoods where black live, that's called white flight. That's racist. They don't want to live around black. But whites are also racist if they move into neighborhoods where blacks predominate, because that's called gentrification. So if you move out of black neighborhoods, you're racist. You move into black neighborhoods, you're racist. The one consistent theme in that is that all whites are always racist all the time, according to today's narrative. I want to know who put up the sign in this church. Did we ever figure that? Who put up the sign?
So, yeah, it's a battle between race. It's a battle between stealing somebody's, quote, flock. It's a battle about who lives in what neighborhoods. This is an epic issue, but as far as I can tell, this Jordan guy's just kind of off his rocker. He's putting up these controversial signs to generate controversy. Guys in the media try to get a hold of him to find out what he really thinks and says and why, and his phone's disconnected. I'm telling you right now, this is provocateur agenda, Divide America 101.
That's it. But the key thing is racism is still alive and well. That's what you got to know. See, I mean, if somebody sees the headline, they're preconditioned to believe and that some white racist put up this sign, and it's you know, it's the 1800s again, and you know, they want to segregate their church, and this is in your face hatred. That's what they're going to take from the headline, and then of course everybody's so lazy, so they're not going to do the research that you just did and find out what's really going on. But the bottom line is, the more we work to have this racial utopia, the more we give, the more we sacrifice, the more we put up with in terms of the college in Washington, the more indignity, the more injustices that we take on to get us to this part of racial healing, the further away from that we seem to be. I mean, we're further away. The races are more divided today, I think, than they ever have been. More divided than they were in Jim Crow, more divided than
Well, and it's primarily because the government is promoting that divide. All right, I want to get to a couple of other stories. I just found that interesting, and I just thought I'd show folks how research is done behind the scenes on the fly. I don't know everything about it, but I've got a pretty good handle on it from what I've been able to read. I did literally call and verify the phones disconnected for this church. So, you know, I've done quite a bit of due diligence just live on the radio on the spot. I found out about the story just a couple of minutes before the last break. And so, you know, it's been literally almost 10 minutes that I've had a chance to research this thing. So,
and already, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. In that time, he put a call while we're live on the air to verify. And I guess if somebody's been there, he'd piped them right on the radio.
Yeah, I would have tried. That's just how we roll. All right, now, there's a couple of other interesting stories I want to get to before the end of the hour. Sorry to keep you so long, James. Appreciate your indulgence on this. Listen to this.
Man, it's my pleasure.
Headline says this. New troops on border may watch with caveat. Manny Fernandez writes the piece. So, troops on the border may watch with caveat. They say, Houston, hundreds of National Guard troops deployed by President Trump to the border. But when it comes to surveillance, they are forbidden from looking across the border. I kid you not. Okay, they got high-tech equipment, and they're prohibited from using their high-tech surveillance equipment from actually looking into Mexico. This shows you how genuine Donald is, huh?
Well, and it also goes back to political correctness is a religion, it's a cult, it's insanity, it's a mental disorder. What in the world are you sending law enforcement? I mean, Sam, when you told me this yesterday, I've had a day to absorb this, or my reaction here live with you, ladies and gentlemen, would be a lot more shocked. But I've had a day to think about this. Why would you send law enforcement personnel to a place where rampant illegal activity is happening? And tell them they can't open their eyes. And that's basically what they're saying. You can go down there to where the laws are being broken, but don't you dare see anything. Because if you see something, you may have to act on it. And if you act on it, well, that would be racist because you might be white and the people coming from over the border may not be white. And we can't enforce the laws like that. Now, if they were white coming over, maybe you could open your eyes. I don't know. They didn't tell us.
Let me explain a tidbit on this that you should know. Officials say the troops were carrying out their, quote, approved mission, and they did not view the surveillance rules as a prohibition or a restriction. They simply regarded it as part of the parameters of the deployment. Now, here's what you need to know. The National Guard, by law, can't look across the border, but real Border Patrol agents can. And so I submit to you that Donald literally played games with us, put a bunch of people on the border, made us think he's getting tough on it. But the real answer would be to change the law and or put real Border Patrol agents on the border that can actually do their job, as opposed to these restrictive guys with their hands tied behind their backs. Now, what I find fascinating is it reminds me of the Vietnam War. We put folks in there. We gave them all these rules that you can't shoot and you can't this and you don't have ammo, but yet win the war. This is an intentional attempt to fail. I'm telling you right now, why would you ever put National Guard on the border and have a law that says you can't look across the border on the Mexican side? I mean, it makes no sense unless you understand the agenda, which is to play us for suckers and sell us down the road, all pretending we're going to get tough on the border, all the while literally short sheeting the bed. In other words, intentionally creating a falsehood. Let's talk about it in seconds. Then Newt Gingrich coming up in the news. He's right for a change. Can you imagine that?
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to givemelibertyfund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So new troops on the border may watch, but they can't literally, by law, look on the Mexico side of the border. Okay, so they can watch with a caveat, writes Manny Hernandez. And I find this fascinating. So if you don't understand the agenda, you say, why would they do that? It doesn't make any sense. Why would they tie their hand? Because their agenda is not to be serious. It reminds me of Congress. They passed a law and funded. They were going to put a border fence up years ago. They never put the border fence up. Now they're fighting Donald against putting up the wall. Donald tells you he wants to get after this big time, and he puts a bunch of troops on the border. But he ties their hands behind their backs. He could just hire Border Patrol agents that have complete authority, or he could push for the law to be appropriate to defend America. Okay, but none of these things are happening, James. You've been played for a sucker. Donald also tells you that they started the wall, and they've done no such thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have called this a half measure, but it's not even that. Even a half measure is taken in good faith, where it might not be as strong as you want, but they're at least trying to make some effort here. This is just pure window dressing. I mean, this isn't even real. This is just for show. This isn't even a half measure. This is just something that they're you'll read a headline, troops into the border, people think something's happening. It rallies the base for the Trump administration, but nothing happens at all. And then, of course, now, I mean, why send them at all? That's just a waste of money. You're sending them down there and not letting them do anything. And let me tell you something. These people are breaking the law. As we always say, if you don't like the law, change the law. I do think a nation without borders is no nation at all, and we should enforce our border laws. And if we have precedent. We have recent precedent. It wasn't that long ago that Eisenhower was in office, and within the lifetime of some of our listeners today. Eisenhower had Operation Wetback. He rounded every illegal alien up, every lawbreaker up, and he sent them home. If it could happen then, it can happen again now.
Yeah, but understand, remember, under Obama, we had Operation Fast and Furious, which we literally armed the drug cartels with weapons. We blamed it on the gun shows in America that guns were going south illegally. We lied on against the gun control. We literally, Operation Fast and Furious, armed the drug cartels, okay? Then we gave our guys rubber bullets to fire at the enemy.
Well, there you go again. But I'll tell you, speaking of bullets and bayonets and all of this, here's another precedent. Now, if the Eisenhower precedent wasn't enough, that was less than 100 years ago, how about this one? How about in the South in the 1950s and 60s, they mobilized the National Guard to march on southern states with regards to integrating the colleges. Now, keep in mind, those people were breaking the law in the South. The governors of the South were actually upholding the laws of those states. You actually had a situation in the even more recent past than the Eisenhower situation, where you had the federal government literally mobilize the National Guard to march in with bayonets to overturn the laws of what was supposed to be sovereign states. So if you can do all of that, don't tell me you can't go and enforce the federal laws on the border.
But it's only if you want to, James. That's what I'm trying to get at, is if you understand the real agenda, you understand they don't want to. They want to play you for a sucker. They want to let the border leak like a sieve, and they want to use this to gain more control over you and me and everybody else.
Well, of course, that's the end game. They don't want to. If they wanted to, they could do it. We can defend the borders of how many different countries around the world do we have military bases? Over 100, but we can't defend our own. We've got a military bases on places we haven't been at war at, you know, since the 50s, and but we can't secure our own border. We can militarize Israel's border. It goes on and on and on. So they don't want to do it. They could build the wall. They could militarize the border. They could deport every lawbreaker, and they could do it before the end of the year. But they don't want to. And, of course, now we've got just this corrupt government on every level, every branch.
And now we're going to go to the courts, and we're going to sue Amnesty Cities. Rather than withholding the cash from them, we're just going to sue them and keep sending the cash to them and continue to let the border leak like a sieve. It's amazing. All right.
And then you've got, even when Trump tries to do something good, one no-name judge you've never heard of from Hawaii or New Jersey can overturn him. So criminally corrupt judiciary, sociopathic, treasonous Congress. So good luck getting anything done when you're having to deal with branches like that. And then, of course, Trump doesn't have the will either. So that's just
all right. I mentioned Newt Gingrich is in the news, and he's right for a change. Newt Gingrich thinks Trump has been successful because he refuses to apologize. Nick Givens writes the piece, and backing down and apologizing never worked because the people who are your enemies just take that, put it in their pocket, and come at you again, Gingrich said on Fox and Friends. And so he says, hey, Trump growing up in the rough neighborhoods of NYC and dealing with the business world that he's dealt with, he's learned through the hostile media that apologizing just gets you nothing. And we've made this point over and over, James. Now even Newt Gingrich jumps to our defense, huh?
Well, there's not much good to say about Newt except for the hog, the blind hog finds an acorn, or the broken clock is right twice a day or something like that. Newt's right on this, though. You learn very quickly in politics and media not to apologize to your enemies. Now, I'm not talking about if I cause offense to my brother. Obviously, you should apologize. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is that they try to force you to apologize for your heartfelt beliefs. They force you to apologize for things that...
Or for apologize for things they've taken out of context that you never meant in the first place.
And exactly. And if you do that, if you play that game, if you know you've done no wrong, I mean, what's the old adage of... Well, Davy Crockett said something along the line. I don't have it in front of me, but always be sure you're right and then go ahead. If you know you're right, and if you have reconciled your positions with your faith and you've come to the conclusion that what you are doing is in accordance with God's law and that what you're doing is pure in intention and good and decent and morally sound, if you are convinced of that, don't apologize for it. As you said, they'll take it out of context. They'll call you these names, and then you'll think, "Well, I can just end it by apologizing."
No. You'll never live it down, folks.
Well, not only that, they will have taken your self-respect at that point. You will have lost any. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if any two people know it, it's the two people that are talking right now, and Kirk Crosby as well. We have been through this about as much as anybody in media, and that's not an exaggeration. That's not bragging. It's just a matter of fact. If you apologize to these thugs, you will have lost your self-respect, you will have lost your dignity.
And you will have lost the moral high ground. Now,
and you will have
let's
lost
be clear.
The faith of your audience. You will have lost the faith of your audience.
Let's be clear. We're not saying if you've wronged somebody that you shouldn't apologize. You should.
Correct.
What we're saying is when they misrepresent the truth and try to extract an apology to promote their hostile political agenda, that is the problem. Okay? That is the problem. And we got to really understand this and not back down from who we are. Look, they tell you that I'm a racist. I will not apologize. Okay? I stand for God, family, and country, and you can listen to who I am and what I say and learn what I really think and what I really believe. And then I can apologize to the audience that I'm so sorry these people lie about me. I am sorry about that. But I will not apologize for who I am or what I believe or the statements that I've made because they are not racist and they are not dishonest, and I will not fall on my sword over their altar in hopes they'll give me mercy. Okay?
They won't.
They won't.
Never. The apology never curries you any favor with these thugs. These are the most dishonest, evil. Trump tried to make light of it. These are the lying press, and it's funny. No, these people are really evil.
They are, and they'll lie about
evil,
you and me.
Malicious, lying people.
All right.
And And it doesn't do you any good. They won't ever say, oh, well, he apologized. No, he's actually one of the good guys. Come on, you can be in our club, buddy. No, you've lost everything at that point. Doesn't do you any good with them. And you betrayed the people who did look up to you. And I don't care. You don't have to have a radio show to do this. If you're in this position as a private citizen, you will have lost the respect of your friends and family at that point.
All right. Man. Twitter amps up censorship. James?
I saw something about this. It looks like if you're talking about what I saw the other night or maybe even last night, they are going to, I guess, sort of shadow ban you if you're just detracting or distracting from the conversation. They're going to use
folks like the Southern Poverty Law Center and become the hate police, and they're going to determine whatever your thoughts are, and they're just going to railroad you based on the agenda of who's in control. All right. Now, Facebook also, I guess, had to remove more than 500 million fake accounts in the first quarter of 2018 alone, James.
500 million fake accounts?
500 million fake accounts, yes, sir.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I am the last person in the world not only to not be on Facebook, but to have never had a Facebook account. I've never had a Facebook account. I am on Twitter. That's the only social media.
Kurt, you have a comment?
Well, that's where Rush Limbaugh calls it fake book. So I guess maybe that's...
Well, yeah, there are 500 million less accounts as of now. Last story before the end of the hour. Socialist-backed candidates sweep Pennsylvania State House primaries, according to the Huffington Post.
Well, the Democrats won again, did they?
Well, they're literally promoting socialist-backed candidates. They're literally promoting and loving the fact they got communist backing and socialist backing and money. Communist Party USA all in the mix in America today. This is stranger than fiction, folks, but it's all true.
Mm-hmm.
Any comment, Kurt?
And again, very little.
Well, here we go again, huh?
Yeah, any comment, James?
No, I was just going to say, it's just the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, these people, whoever they're talking about in this particular story, I guarantee you they wouldn't legislate much differently than what's already got in the United States, the Senate, the United States, the House. So, even the Republicans, I mean, what have the Republicans ever done for conservatives? Nothing. It's a bluster. So let the bad times roll if that's what it takes.
It's certainly
a
rough road to hoe, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's rough. And I mean, there's been some good things, but as a whole, we're just sliding so fast that only our prayers and our righteous living can make a difference, folks.
Well, I'll tell you this, folks. What one man can make a difference, and what one man can do, another can do. And heroes will rise and support the ones that are fighting this good fight. And don't ever underestimate the power of one. Sam talks about it, and I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Man, they're getting all crazy, aren't they, ladies and gentlemen? Believing that the power of one can make a difference. All right. Thank you, James.
Thank you, guys. I love y'all. Talk to you later.
Final word's yours,
Kurt. Good work, buddy. God bless America, and God save the Republic. And keep up the good work, Sam and Sir James.
Man, we got a rough road to hoe, Kurt,
mm-hmm.
in the news. You know, there's a lot of conflicting articles and, you know, how do you stay positive and, you know, tell the real tale and promote what we want to in a meaningful way? How do you help people have hope? There's a lot to this responsibility we have. To be encouraging, to be faithful, to be kind, to call a spade, we got a tough road to hoe. We're grateful for everybody's help. If you want to donate and get involved, we'd love it. LibertyRoundtable.com. Tell all your friends about who we are and what we do. Understand we're doing the very best we can for the sacred cause of liberty. And we're grateful for your support, for your listenership. Please spread the word and donate today. LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? We declare this nation shall endure.